In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been announced as a means of encouragement for those who are outside the body of Christ. We're very happy to have this number present again tonight to discuss some things that I just want to look at or to bring up for just a few moments tonight. Certainly, we're glad you're here, though. I'm not going to use the PowerPoint tonight. I just typed up a couple of things that I wanted to talk about concerning today. Just entitled the lesson, Game Day. And, of course, the Super Bowl today. And I know there's a lot of sports fans in the congregation. And as you think about that, I'm sure that people have their most favorite memory about some sport that maybe your team has been involved with. I know that you have some sad memories concerning what your team has been involved with. I know the Duke loss years ago for one group of fans. And for the other group of fans, I think it was 1981, U.S. Reed launched a shot from half court. He played for Arkansas, and that team wasn't able to go on. But as we think about this tonight, just wanted to talk about for a few minutes how madly in love people have fallen with sports or in sports. There won't be many here who remember this because most people aren't sports fans that go back a long way. But on my birthday, December 31st in 1967, Jeff might remember the day. It was called the Ice Bowl. And the Ice Bowl, it was played at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. And one of the things that we noticed on that day was the temperature was 14 below zero. They didn't really keep wind chills as of yet by that time. But they stated the wind chill was about 48 to 55 below zero on that day. On that day in Lambeau Field, they filled the stadium. There was over 50,000 people that waited in line an hour to get into the stadium. And after they waited in line to get into the stadium, they sat there for probably 4 hours or more to watch a football game in temperatures that were 40, 50 below zero. When I think about that, you think about the term holy. And usually we think about it from the standpoint of God. And we think about it as being set apart. But when you think about this, you think about this many times is people's holiness. This is where they are truly set apart. I thought about it. Would someone wait for an hour out in the cold weather to get into the church building? After you're here, would you allow someone to have maybe a worship service for 4 hours when it's 40, 50 below zero outside, even though you're inside in a beautifully warm building? And I think about that as what people's holiness actually is. What are people really set apart? What are people really set apart for? We see that sports is not a modern phenomenon. They say the Olympic Games go back to 776. So 776 B.C., that'd be Isaiah's time. It'd be Isaiah the prophet's time. How far the games go back. And, of course, these games, they were distinctly religious in nature, honoring their gods. The first marathon, 26.2 miles, was also run in ancient Greece. The Apostle Paul uses this terminology concerning sporting events. Whether he was a fan or not, I don't know, but he talks about it. In 2 Timothy and in chapter 2 and in verse 5, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 5, he says 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 5, also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. But he in the text is talking about Timothy and the faithfulness as a gospel preacher that you must follow the rules. Also in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 9, probably the more familiar passage to you that we use much of the time. In chapter 9 and in verse 24 through 27, 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24 beginning, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way, not as beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not become disqualified." Don't beat the air. Don't waste your energy on something that doesn't produce any result. But he talks about that you be faithful concerning the enemy. And here, the enemy for the apostle, many times was the enemy within himself, that he would talk about in Romans chapter 7 as well, that he would have to fight. This lesson's not going to be long tonight. But does God really care about sports? Does God really care about sports? We care. A lot of people will live or die by their teams. There will be a team tonight that will lose in the Super Bowl, and their fans will be destroyed. They might be destroyed for just an entire year to where they're not able to get over it until next year. On the other hand, there's going to be another team that is going to celebrate for a long period of time. They're going to have a parade probably tomorrow or the next day. And whatever team that is, they're going to celebrate for a long time. But before we answer this question, we need to answer one that's very easy for those who follow God. In Isaiah chapter 43, and in verse 5 through 7, Isaiah 43, and in verse 5 through 7, He says, do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Then he says in verse 7, this is what I want you to notice, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. What does that tell me, first of all? The first principle is that I am created for God's glory. And that's going to answer a lot of questions concerning what I do and the way I live my life in every way, but especially when it comes to sports, how I'm going to live my life. To bring glory to a thing means to exalt it or to give a high honor, to show that it's outstanding, or with God, that God is awesome. The foundational mission in life is to bring glory to God. In 1 Corinthians and in chapter 10 and in verse 31, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 31, it says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. In 2 Peter and in chapter 2 and in verse 9, 2 Peter 2 and in verse 9, or 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9, 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we understand the foundational purpose of this. That we're called to glorify God. We stated this morning, He created us for Himself. Now, does God care about sports? And I want to say in one way, He does. He does care about sports. He's not going to care about what the score of the game is tonight. He doesn't care about basketball game scores or baseball game scores. But these are the things that God does care about. He cares about a game that shapes people's character, whether in good ways or in bad. In contests where it takes courage sometimes, those men back in 1967 when they played in 45 below zero, that took some sort of courage. That of humility, that of perseverance. But also He cares about arrogance. He cares about anger. He cares about hostility. We see over in Galatians and in chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, and in verses 22 through 24, Galatians 5 and in verse 22 through 24, He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Back to verse 20, though, He talks about the works of the flesh. He talks about idolatry. sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. Does he add a codicil? Does he add an addition to the Bible and say, well, as far as you go as Christians, you need to live this way except when sports are on. When sports are on, or if you're involved in playing the sport, well, then you can just live whatever way you want to live and then come back later. Is that the idea? No, that's not the idea. Remember, everything is done to the glory of God. So that means that screaming at someone, if you're out shopping, you're out at the shopping center, do you glorify God by screaming at the little sales girl trying to check you out? Maybe she's doing the best that she can. Maybe she's new. And I don't think that would happen. Or maybe road rage. We've seen road rage in the last few years to where people have, even where I get my hair cut, some other people might get their hair cut over there as well, where there was road rage and someone killed someone else in that parking lot because of road rage, screaming at someone else. Got so mad they killed the other person. Or maybe it's a player or a coach or a referee, that we become so incensed, so entangled in an outburst of anger. Is that glorifying God? When Lynn and I were traveling to Alabama at different times, when her mother lived in Alabama, She'll remember this after I tell the story. But we were in Huntsville for church one Sunday morning. And when we walked in, the only person that spoke to us at that time was one of the elders that I knew. His name was Herschel Patton. Herschel and Marshall Patton were two of the elders there. Marshall Patton, he was gone away in a meeting that day. Big church. We sat in the back, and I noticed immediately something was up here. The day before was the Alabama-Auburn game. Well, one side won, whatever year that was. The other side lost. And Brother Patton had to get up in the pulpit that day and tell those people they needed to behave themselves, because there was such hatred, animosity, outburst of anger between brothers and sisters in Christ because one team won and one team lost. And they couldn't even control themselves for an hour. And he had to get up and rebuke them. Well, when we think about this, we're down to the end of this now, folks, so you don't have to wait much longer. Does God keep track of statistics? Yes and no. He's not going to care who passes for the most yards tonight. He's not going to care who rushes for the most yards tonight. He will keep track, though, of how many hours you spend watching football compared to being with your family. I remember a fellow several years ago that said it was his off day, and he was going to get down there in his basement, and he was going to watch football from that morning to that night, and no one had better bother him. And at that time, he had children at home. He keeps tabs on how much we watch sports compared maybe to how much we read our Bible. Again, people enjoy sports. I enjoy sports. But this is so consuming that I will spend a half a day, maybe a full day, involved in that pursuit. And I might not have taken the time to even open my Bible, much less to read it for 15 or 20 minutes. So yes, he keeps track on that. He marks down how many people put sports ahead of him. He says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He'll keep track on that. He'll look at the people and how they feel about holiness, whether they've set their lives apart for Him, because He made us, or whether we've set our lives apart for something like the Super Bowl. And maybe people have spent all day preparing for this and never once darkened the door of a building to come to worship God. He keeps track of that. We need to remember that what we do every moment of the day, whether watching sports or anything else, has eternal ramifications and consequences. What we do does matter to God, especially when so many things take people further and further away from God. We have our most famous, our most important moments, our most favorite moments that we have. But what about those things that draw us closer to God? That draw us closer to heaven. We're getting closer. We're getting closer to heaven every day. The question is, are we ready? Well, that's just some musings from a preacher tonight about game day. So we hope that you'll think about these things. Think about our lives. For those that are not Christians as of yet, now is the opportunity for you to come. Everything's ready. Water's ready. Change of clothes in the back. For you to be baptized into Christ tonight, or if you need to repent of your sins, we invite you to come right now. While together we stand, we sing.